Somebody say, it's up to you. Somebody say, it's up to you. I want to show you in the Word how God wants us to take responsibility for evangelizing the world. But he tells the apostles, go in all the world and preach the gospel, does he not? But he also says, you don't have to do it alone. That he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. How many know that's true? So even though God wants us to be responsible, the reality is it's up to us. Somebody say it's up to us. And so when I say us, I mean it in two ways. I mean us and us. Does that make sense? There's such a mentality. How many glad to be here tonight? How many glad to be here tonight? There's such a mentality even amongst church people, and many times we can be waiting for the person next to us to do something. How many know what the problem is? If the person next to you is waiting for you to do something to build the kingdom of God, and if you're waiting for the person next to you to do something to build the kingdom of God, how many know what happens? The kingdom doesn't get built. Amen. See, I've said this over and over and over and over again. Who's responsible to when we were in the North Sanctuary and we needed more room? Who was responsible for us to figure out, you know what, this space is bigger than that space. We can tear a wall down. We can take off a ceiling. We can redo the air conditioning to the side. We can put the air conditioning unit that was right here. We can build a soffit and put it up here and build a stage and put the drums in this corner. Whose responsibility was it to not only figure that out but to fund it? We think Jesus is always the answer, do we not? You know what? There was a little boy in church class, and the teacher asked, you know what? What has got a big fluffy tail, big ears, and hops around? And the boy raised his hand, and he says, well, I think it's a bunny, but I know the answer is always at church, Jesus. My point is, you know what? No. It's not Jesus. It wasn't Jesus' responsibility to get us over in the South Sanctuary. It was our responsibility to get us in the South Sanctuary. Can you say amen to this? Jesus, I've taught you this. I'll quote it again. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He lives to intercede for us. He is praying that we will get busy getting our junior highs saved, getting our high schools saved, getting the people around us. Look, think about it for a minute. How did you come to Christ? How did you get to hope? Hope being Jesus, you got to hope through somebody inviting you to say, This Jesus changed my life, and he can change your life too. Amen. Amen. So who's it up to? Who's going to evangelize? You know what, Pico Rivera? I'll tell you what, we are. Who's gonna get your family saved? You are. Amen. The Bible says that mighty works were done by the hands of the apostles. Amen. And there is such a thought out there that we just are going to kick back and, you know, because we can't do much. Well, let me tell you what. There's someone who disagrees with you.
There's someone who disagrees with you.
and his name is Jesus. Amen. How many want to see this in the Word? Matthew, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll start with verse 13. And Jesus says this. He doesn't say, I am the salt of the earth. Does he? No, what does he say? He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but thrown out and trampled under by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Again, notice what he says. Not I am the light of the world. Well, I thought Jesus was the light of the world. Yes. Yes. And it says, there's another passage that says, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. But notice, see, listen to me. It's our responsibility. It's up to, what did I teach you? It's up to who? It's up to, say us. Come on, everybody, say it's up to us. Everybody say it's up to us. It's up to us. And say, and it's up to us. It's who it's up to. It's up to us and it's up to us. And God says, listen, you're the salt, you're the light. Jesus says that. See, we have stepped into in the Church of America a false sense of security. A false sense of insecurity. God doesn't say you can do nothing. God says, let me tell you about you. You're the salt of the world, of the earth. You are light. You are the light of the world. The world. What's your world? Your world is, you know what? When you go to the grocery store and there's, you know what, that guy that you see, you know, in the produce all the time. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you haven't been given a spirit of fear. Amen? Listen, we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Me and my wife went to the mall today, and we had errands to run today. And how many like those fire things out there? Is that cool? Amen? And let that remind you of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? But I saw those were at a big discount, and you know what? And I thought, man, I want to see if they have some more of those. So I called them. They had some, you know what? And then I thought, well, maybe I'll talk to the manager, and maybe we'll get some favor. And we did get some favor. Not only did he give them to him as a substantial discount, but thank you, Jesus, he delivered it to them, to us. Today, amen. Don't get me started on favor of God, amen. I expect the favor of God every day of my life, amen. And so, we were off the 60. We got off on Azusa, and I was thinking, you know what? It'd be smart to first, you know what, go and drop my wife at the mall and then wait for her because she just was going to run in and out real quick. And then just come this way and around, and then I'll go to the Home Depot that's up there, and then I'll come back this way because if I do that way, then I can just get right back up on the freeway. Does that make sense? But if I go this other way, then if I go to Home Depot first, then I got to turn back around, and then that's still kind of good. But then I got to go this way, and then I got to go back like that, and it don't make no sense. I don't like going like that. Amen. And so what'd you do? I went like that. Why'd you do that? Because the Holy Spirit said, go to Home Depot first. Why would the Holy Spirit tell you to do that? Here, you want my spiritual answer? It's deep. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor, it's deep. No, you didn't say it seriously enough. I didn't believe you, man. Look at you and I said, Pastor. Like you know what? With some honor. You know what I mean? Pastor's deep. Tell him that. Tell him. Yeah, that was better. That's better. Deep. So, Pastor, how come the Holy Spirit told you to do that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't need to know. And I thought a couple things. I thought, well, maybe he's going to save us some time. I have no idea. Doesn't make any difference. I just got to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says. Amen? Always, let me make this point. Always knowing that the Holy Spirit will not say different than something that's in his word. Oh, somebody needs to hear that. See, the word of God is our final authority. Amen. How many know we can be off sometimes? We can. How many ever thought the Holy Spirit said something and you were wrong? Okay. See, you have to allow the word of God to be your final authority. Okay. So, but my point is that the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you, and you have not been given a spirit of fear, but a love, joy, sound mind. And you know what? You could be, you know what? For all you know, you are the one who's going to minister to that person in that produce. You know, you probably need to go outside and grab a card, and I know they're in your car. Amen. Somebody say amen to this. Pastor, what car? I don't have a card. You better get a card. Amen. Don't leave home without one, amen. But the Holy Spirit could be, you know, you could go up to that person in the produce and just say, you know, I don't know what's going on, but you know, but God told me that I need to pray for your family. I'm not saying make that up. I'm saying when the Holy Spirit says you need to, you know, well, what if, hey. Who is God going to use if he can't use his people? See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. See, can we be the sheep that will hear his voice and then be directed to do what the Holy Spirit says? I touched on it Sunday. Before your feet hit the floor, you know what? Today is the day you need to say, God, today is the day. I am your servant today. I'm serving you today. I'm not independent. I'm interdependent on you. I'm completely dependent upon you. And you are the one who's going to lead me. I am going to be used mightily by God today. I'm going to walk in love today. I'm going to walk in peace today. I'm going to walk in forgiveness today. And I am going to walk in obedience today. That's what I'm going to do today. Amen. And thank you, God. You haven't left me. I can, you know, you and I are going to evangelize the world, and I will be a light wherever you tell me to shine. Amen. Amen. Is this making sense, anybody? Yes. How many are still glad you came today? Amen. Yes. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a lamp, under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. All that are in the house. So let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men. Somebody say before men. That they may see your good works. Ooh, we'll talk about that in a minute. Good works. And glorify your Father in heaven. My first point. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. All caps on you. That's what God said you are. Mark chapter 16, verse 14, starting with verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of their heart. One of the last things that God does, this is a side note, I'm going to preach on this soon. One of the last things that Jesus does is it rebukes his apostles for their unbelief.
That's right.
That is a trip. But just put that in your purse and swing it, okay? We can't unpack that tonight. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of their heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. He who believes is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, speak with new tongues. Somebody say, speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord had spoken to them. He was received up to heaven and sat down. Somebody say, sat down at the right hand of God. Where is Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. He was taken up. Somebody say he was taken up. Well, you know what? If Jesus wants to get Pico Rivera saved, then he's going to get Pico Rivera saved. Yeah, that's true, but he's going to do it through you. Amen. Why? Because he's at the right hand of the Father. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Whenever you hear Jesus say, you know what, in the King James, he sometimes says, verily, verily, I say unto you. When Jesus says, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth, he's about to say something that's going to be hard for you to believe. So he prefaced it by saying, guys, hey, I'm telling you the truth. Look what he says. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. How many know Jesus departed and the Holy Spirit has been sent to us?
Amen.
Why? To empower us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach you of things to come. You know, you can get revelation knowledge by the Holy Spirit of what's going to happen today. Amen. You don't have to go just, you know what, you're not just dust in the wind. You're not just a snowflake, you know what, just drifting all around in the, no, let me tell you what, you're a child of the living God. You have the Holy Spirit who lives inside you, and he lives inside you to guide you and to lead you, to tell you things, you know what, that are going to benefit your life and help you. Amen. Amen. Point two, God is not going to do this without us. Where do you get that, Pastor? Look here, this deep. Just read any page in the New Testament. No, listen to me. We think so crazy thoughts sometimes. How many know it's important to read our Bible every day? You read and you're going to start to see things that you never saw. Every page in the Bible is proof that God is not willing to do this without us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, where I'm about to go, I'm going to show you some things in the Word. And do me a favor. Don't let your religious thinking, you say, what, Pastor, you know,
The word of God is all powerful. It is more powerful than anything. There's nothing that can stop.
Guys, be ready to not say amen.
Nothing can stop the word of God.
The Bible says something can stop the word of God. You know, the Bible says can stop the word of God. Your tradition of men. Something you've heard and you thought it was true. You know, the Bible says that it's the knowledge that you know, the truth that you know is going to set you free. And so I'm gonna show you some passages that your religious mind is going to argue with me, but you've got to submit your will to His will. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar, including us. Amen?
Amen.
How many know sometimes we can think wrongly? I'm just preloading to you. Before I show you these passages, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't have it. Let me get it for you. If we endure... What's enduring? Enduring is not stopping. We will also, somebody say also.
Also.
Reign with Him. It's telling you what the Bible says. Amen.
Amen.
This is just the revelation of the Holy Spirit that God has given to us. Who's gonna reign?
Jesus.
Absolutely. But who's He gonna reign with? See, people. I'm not gonna reign. Paul thinks you are. Here. You know what? Your opinion, the Apostle Paul's opinion. I pick the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Pick the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. If we endure, now there is a prerequisite. But notice the prerequisite is if we endure. I don't know about you, but I'm enduring. Amen. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody over here. Are you not stopping? Amen. Who's got time to stop? Amen. You got time to stop? I don't got time to stop. You know, we have no idea how close that we really are. You know, you might think that you know what? You might think you got a lot of time. The Bible says, you better work while it's day. Amen. Because the night is coming. Amen. You know, the example of those ladies who went out, you know what, and they all go out, they all got their, you know, their lamps, but some of them just thought they had time to go to, you know, der Wiener Schnitzel and, you know what, and go to, you know what, Sam's Club and do all this, you know, just, ooh, you know, I don't know what they were thinking, but they thought they could do all kinds of stuff. You know what? But some were focused, amen. They said, no, let me tell you what, we're going to go prepare. We don't know when. But we're going to be ready. Amen? And those ladies were ready when Jesus Christ came. We don't know, you know what, when this thing is all going to wrap up. Here's what I believe we do know is that we are at the end of the end of the end of the end of the end. I believe that's very, very clear. Very clear. Well, how close are we? I don't know. Here's what I know, that you know what? I'm not going to let some craziness. Who wants to stop now? I don't. Amen? Amen. Listen, I've seen too much of God's goodness in my life. Amen. Who in the world wants to? Who in the world? Are you kidding me? Going back to the world and all that garbage and all that trash and all that gossip and all that yuck, man. Who wants to do that? You know, the other day, I let our dogs out in the morning, and we have one dog, we call him Mr. Casey. And Mr. Casey, you know what, went out there, and, you know, of course, it was raining, and but there's plenty of dry places for him to sit. And I go back just 5 minutes later, just 5 minutes to let him back in, and, you know, he is just mud, you know what I mean? I'm unbelievable. Unbelievable. Who wants to live in the mud when Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness? Amen. But notice what it says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. You know what? The reality is, you know, there are going to be people who are going to reign with Jesus. How do you know that? Because the word says that. And part of my mind, David said, who is man that God is mindful of us? He's tripping out. Listen, we can trip out all day long. But the reality is, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm doing two things. I'm enduring and I'm reigning with him. Who's coming with me? Amen. I'm staying in this thing. I'm not leaving. I'm not quitting. I'm going to endure. And guess what? I'm going to reign with Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. Watch this. This is so good. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. Say, out of the mouth. The Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies. You know what the psalmist is saying? Let me tell you what. That man, how many of you used to be a baby? Raise your hand if you used to be a baby. Okay. That is a trick question. If your hand isn't messed up, I don't know what you think happened. Okay. God is saying, listen, we got an enemy, but you know what? But there's a bunch of believers, and they're going to whip on the enemy all day long. Amen? Watch this. Watch this. Same chapter, but same psalm, but look what verse 6 says. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Now, notice, is that H there, is that a capital H or a little H?
Little H.
That's a little H, Pastor. Listen, everyone, get in level 1, OSL. It's coming up soon. Get in level 1, and then get in level 2, and then get in level 3. On level 3, I'll teach you about the big H and the little H, but right now, I'll just real quickly say this. In the new King James Version, when this was originally written, there was no capitals. So it is up to the translators to figure out who is he talking about. Is he talking about God, big H, or is he talking about man, little H? The versions like the NIV, they don't make that distinction. They just put everything in the little H, but the many people who did translations, like the people who did the New King James, think that this is a little H. And I agree with them. Why? Because in the context, he's talking about man. He's talking about the dominion that man have. You have made him to have dominion over the works of... What was he talking about in verse 2? Come on, somebody. What was he talking about? He was talking about babies. Amen. He's not talking about baby dogs. Talking about baby people. Amen. That's how funny, huh? Okay. So anyway, look what he says. He says, you know what? You have put all things under, talking about humans, his feet. You know? You want me to sing it? You know? He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Right? Where is he? Satan is under his feet. Your feet. Amen? He's under my feet. That's where he, you know what? You want to talk to Satan? You don't go like this. You don't go like this. Hey, Satan. Why? Because that's where he is. Amen? Are you learning something? Okay. Now, I taught you this before, but I'll teach you. But this is great. You want to do a great study? Find verses that are awesome that you know by heart. Very familiar verses. And this is one of them. Oh, no, this is not one of them. I mean, that is one of them, but that's not the one I was going to. Okay. How many know this verse? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. How many know that voice? Oh, yeah, right here. Come on, how many know this? This verse, famous. Stand at the door and knock. Okay. Let's put it in. Let's read what it says before. Let's read what it says after. I hope your shoes are tied tight. I hope you have took your religious cap off, because this one is a doozy. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Have you ever been corrected by God? Correction of God is God loving you. Then the verse that we went over. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. But watch the next verse. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. See, if I would start off this sermon and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. If you're going to sit with Jesus on his throne, I said before I showed you this scripture, I don't know who would raise their hand. I think, man, no, Pastor. I'm not. That's Jesus' throne. Nobody sits on Jesus' throne but Jesus. Well, do you know this? You know that Jesus sits on God's throne? You know Jesus sits on the Father's throne? Isn't that what? To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus sits on the Father's throne, and we're going to sit on Jesus' throne. How many know why I put this up on the screen? So you gonna believe me? Oh, I just, you know, that's not on the screen. You don't know. Oh, I just want to tell you, we're gonna sit on the throne with Jesus. You know, we're gonna sit on Jesus. If I said like this, I'm gonna sit on Jesus' throne. You about run me out of this church, would you not? You're like, oh my, unbelievable, false doctrine, Pastor. Well, you know what? You can read that 38 times, and you're gonna still come up with the same thing. Amen. How many know Jesus is a good communicator? And I love how clear he is. He's saying, listen, just like I did it with my Father, you're going to sit on my throne. Amen. Put that in your purse and swing it. Watch this. Oh, next verse. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. See, I'm trying to communicate to you something, and God knows there's a bunch of religious people, and they have a false sense of security. If they have a false sense of humility. They think, oh, no, I'm humble. You know what? A humble man says, if God said it, I'll believe it. That's a humble man. A prideful man, you know what, says, I don't care what God says. I don't believe that. That's pride. Humility says, God says it, I'm going to believe it, and I'm sitting on the throne, and you know what? And Pastor Drew's going to be up there, but at some point in time, Jesus is going to say, okay, it's time for you to get off, and you know what? Let Peter on. Amen? Amen? Is that not right? Are you guys learning something? Why am I telling you this? Because we've got to understand, we're doing this thing together. Amen? My last 2 points, closely, quickly. Bible says, so let your light shine. Let. So Jesus says, so, you know what? You are the light of the world, but you've got to let it shine, Buster Brown. Amen? You've got to be bold when you're in your junior high, you know what, and the Holy Spirit tells you, you know, go say something. Invite somebody to Sozo. When you're in your high school and somebody says, invite them to Sozo, and you know, tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. You've got to have that boldness. And let me tell you what, it's not just for the junior hires. It's not just for the high schoolers. It's for all of us. Amen? Just like, whoa. How many believe the junior hires need to be bold at their junior high? Come on, how many believe that? I said, how many believe that? How many believe the high schoolers need to be bold at their high school? How many believe we need to be bold in the high school? Well, let me tell you, adults, oh, amen, junior high, high school. You know what? Well, you need to be bold, too, at your work. And you need to be bold, too, when you go to the grocery store. We all need to be bold because we are the light of the world. We are the salt. We are what is going to lift these people up. And of course, who are they seeing? They are seeing Jesus in us. But we've got to be bold and say, you know what, let me tell you changes your life. Jesus can change your life. Man, that is a good testimony. That is true. And every believer has been given the responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, I'm not a preacher. You might not be a preacher, but you are a communicator of the good news that Jesus can change anyone's life. Who is that? That's you, amen. But the point is, Jesus says, so let it shine. You know what? You can restrict it if you want it. If you don't want to, God says, that's up to you. That's why he says, let. It's an active choice of your will. And if you don't want to do it, well, I'm just quiet. I'm just shy. I'm just, you know what? I'm just whatever. You know what? No. That's your responsibility. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something? I told you I only have, you know what? One more point real quickly. Talk is cheap, but actions are effective. What do I mean by talk is cheap? I mean, like, you know what? Listen, I love to come together. Listen, testimony. Don't think that testimony in church isn't a powerful thing. Matter of fact, we're going to give you an opportunity, not tonight, but pretty soon, to testify. And we're gonna set up a camera and a mic, and we're gonna probably have it outside on a Sunday, and we're gonna record. You know what? Testimonies, because Tamara and I hear all these awesome testimonies, and we want you all to hear what God is doing. Amen. And you're going to have that opportunity. And it's a wonderful thing for us to hear the testimony. But can I tell you what? But it's also really a wonderful thing for that coworker who's going through a divorce, that coworker who is just hopeless, that family member. It's so vital that you speak to those people. See, what I mean by talk is cheap, I mean just hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. This verbiage that can only be seen inside the church. Listen, and I love saying hallelujah. I love saying praise the Lord. I am as vocal as anyone at church. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is when that verbiage stops when we get at our workplace, when we get in our schools, when we get around people, and all of a sudden we're like, yeah, well, listen to me. I don't want to be offensive. You know what Jesus said? Listen. Think about it for a minute. We are to be, Jesus is our example, is he not? They hated Jesus so much, they hung him on a cross. The Bible says, be careful when everybody's saying, oh, he's such a good guy. Oh, he's such a good guy. There ought to be some people who you just, hey, Tamara was one of them. For me, Tamara was one of them. I come into Albertsons and Lucky's at the time. I'd just be happy. Amen. I'm happy, 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 happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. God was my Lord and I was happy, 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 happy. Okay, you got that? I was happy. And it irritated her. But can I tell you what? But it was effective. Listen. I'm telling you, there's people, they need Jesus, and you are the one who are responsible to show them Jesus. It's effective. I didn't say it's 100% effective, because some people, they're just going to reject God. That's not up to you to figure it out. But it's up to you to be effective, because you don't know who's going to accept Jesus. You can't choose. You just watch. That verse says, so let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Wow. See, they see, whoa. You think that was an accident? No, I did that on purpose. There were some of you who were sleeping, and you know what? You need to wake up. And if you sleep again, I'm going to wake you up again. Might do a somersault or something. Okay. Let me get back to my point. My point is, you know what? Watch this. Let's come back. They're going to see your good work. And they're going to recognize what dirty dog you were. Oh, don't look at me with that self-righteous. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you do know what I'm talking about. And they're going to see the dirty dog that you used to be. And they're going to scratch your head and go, like my new dog, Ryder. He goes like this. All the time. That's what they're going to do. They're going to be like, huh? And here's what they're going to know. They're going to know, you know what's going on? Jesus is doing something. They're going to be able to figure out. You say, how are they going to be able to do that? The same thing that happened to you. Amen? See, God is wooing people. And he needs our help. He's not going to do ministry alone. He never has. Why didn't he just make Pharaoh do it? Because that's not what he does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has always used men and women of God. Always. And he's not changing. And it's your responsibility to minister to your family. It's your responsibility. It's with the power of the Holy Spirit to help us, but we've got to be bold about this stuff. Is somebody learning something tonight? Somebody recognize, oh my goodness. Oh, did light go on? It's my responsibility to get people saved around me, to tell them about Jesus. You're going to see, and they're going to scratch their head and say, you know what, I know she's not perfect, but she is way better than she used to be. They know you're not perfect, but you're looking more like Jesus all the time. In that, you're acting more like Jesus. And they see it, and it's effective. Words are cheap, but your actions cause people to fall on their knees and say, there's a living God.
Yes, come on.
And I want to accept Jesus in my heart.
Yeah.
Amen. If you say, is Zora? Oh. Come on up. Amen.
We praise you, Jesus. We praise you. Everyone bow your heads and close your eyes. Some of you guys might be thinking, like, I get anxious, I get nervous. I can't get over myself. I go to the grocery store, I'm around my family, I'm around work, and I know God is calling me to speak to that person and to be the light, but I fall short. But I want to tell you guys something, that God is with you guys. We have a calling and a responsibility to make disciples. And some of us just need to have a perspective change of, this person's soul is on the line. Is this person's salvation more important than how I feel right now? Is this person's salvation more important than me feeling like I'm going to look like a fool? Our biggest obstacle is ourselves. God's not holding back on who he is. We hold back on who he is to other people. And so if you feel that right now, and you're saying, I'm going to crucify my flesh, let go of myself, and I'm going to choose to be who God needs me to be. If that's you tonight, I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want you to lift up your hands right now and say, Jesus, just like the disciples prayed for boldness, help us, Lord, to be bold in the midst of a storm, in the midst of the fires, in the midst of the words, in the midst of the people. It's not about me, Lord, but that I decrease and that you increase in my life. Jesus, fill me with your boldness to be more like you. I commit my life to your will, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.